Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday, decidedly not a victory Monday after the 24-22 loss to the Chicago Bears in the 2024 regular season finale. But you know what? None of that matters. It's all over. As Matt has been saying now for the last day, got to flush it. Time to put it to bed and look forward to a matchup in Philadelphia against the Eagles, round two, for a couple of teams that met back in week one down there in Brazil. And at the time, I remember many people saying, well, we'll see them again. And that does end up being the case. Clearly, yesterday, the result, awful, disheartening, sickening, because it was the Chicago Bears, a team that the Packers had owned and had beaten 11 times in a row. And so they win one out of 12. One time out of every dozen, the Bears come out on top. And the most disheartening part was how it transpired towards the end there. Coaching staff really kind of gave this one away. But you turn the page, you look ahead, and the Packers have a very difficult matchup against the Eagles, a team that did beat them back in week one. But it's interesting to see how both teams juggling with, you know, aspects of their teams that probably aren't hitting on all the cylinders they would like. The Eagles starting quarterback Jalen Hurts still in concussion protocol as of today, although there's a decent chance, I would suspect, that he'll be out there at practice on Wednesday, but you never know. And this is something that has now been kind of lingering for weeks for the Eagles, and that will be obviously something to look at throughout this week as the Packers prepare for an Eagles offense that will still, no matter who's at quarterback, be running through Saquon Barkley, a running back who had a very good performance last time these two teams faced. However, both teams are quite different now, especially the Packers defense, which, you know, if you're talking about one area of this Packers team that seemingly has really ascended throughout the second half of the season in particular, it's the run defense. And I do not doubt for a moment Saquon Barkley will get his. No one's under any illusions that the Packers are going to shut him down. But as far as the approach defensively and what they are able to do to limit the damage, they're much better positioned right now than they were back in week one. And here's hoping the Packers, you know, catch some breaks when it comes to injuries. I know there's a decent chance Quay Walker is back this week. Maybe they get Evan Williams back. Obviously, no good news or luck when it comes to Christian Watson, who is officially going to be put on injured reserve. Matt LaFleur indicating his season is over. The news reported earlier today that he did indeed suffer not only an ACL tear, but some other damage to that knee as well. Absolutely hate it, especially as a non-contact injury in a game that ultimately was pretty meaningless. You really, really hate it for Christian, who has worked his ass off all year, has been a model teammate, a model player, done everything asked of him, never groused once when looks weren't coming his way, certainly blocked his ass off in the running game when he wasn't getting the football in the passing game, and then started to produce when they did start turning to him. You really, really hate to see it. And you got to suspect that this will somewhat maybe augment or alter their plans as far as the offseason and looking at the wide receiver position. I would think this probably would portend some kind of addition to that group. Now, maybe that's in the draft. Maybe that is in free agency. But I suspect they will turn their attention to that position group in a way they might not have had Christian gone into the offseason healthy. Hello to everybody in the comments. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. We got some heaters already lined up, I can tell. So good to see everybody. Before we get going, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. You can sign up right now in the link in the description of this video. And hey, I know football season's coming to an end, but they cover every single major sport. So hop on board. Remember, use code CHTV. All right, folks, let the healing begin. Starting with Ryan. Like I said, coming out of the gate hot. Matt LaFleur and Goody need to be on the hot seat. Goody's drafts haven't been good. What? And Matt LaFleur's coaching has been below average. What? Green Bay is called Title Town for a reason. We expect Super Bowl titles. Well, Ryan, yes, of course. You do expect that. And yes, the Packers so far, now who knows what happens in the postseason. Maybe they go on some magical run. And no, I don't expect that, but you never know. You can't sit here and tell me with certainty that that's not going to happen. And if you do, you're just guessing. But no, yeah, they should not be on the hot seat. Absolutely not. Matt LaFleur has actually done a pretty damn good coaching job, given that he's had the youngest team in the league for 2 years in a row. And we'll talk about Goody's drafts. Yes, youngest team in a row, 2 seasons in a row, but he's also ripped the Band-Aid off from the end of the Aaron Rodgers era, installed his starting quarterback, and produced a boatload of talent from the last couple of draft classes. Now, this particular draft class this season has been banged up and has been injured, and they haven't been able to get them out on the field very much to see even what they're capable of, let alone the potential that might be lying within the draft class. But you cannot look at the last couple of draft classes prior to this one and tell me he has not drafted well. I understand there are frustrations with the first round picks, but the draft is more than the first round. I am begging you to take a breath. And remember, here's the other aspect of people calling for these guys' heads. They just signed contract extensions a couple years ago. And I highly doubt, now I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I highly doubt Mark Murphy on his way out the door is going to fire the guys he just signed extensions with a couple of seasons ago. No doubt Ed Policy is going to inherit these guys and most likely let these contracts play out and then make an assessment. But they're going to take what they learned from this season. They're going to grow and develop and keep developing their core of players and hopefully get better. And look, I understand that it's frustrating having the youngest team every year. Maybe that changes next year. Again, they will look out over everything with a fine-tooth comb, but they are trying to build something with their program. Saying Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst should be on the hot seat, sure, if you want to emulate bad football franchises, by all means, keep hiring and firing. That's what bad teams do. The Packers are not a bad franchise. They're not a bad team. They've had some frustrating losses here at the end of the season, no question about it. And no doubt about it, this past game, you saw the coaching staff directly contribute to that loss. But that doesn't mean you throw out the baby with the bathwater. I'm so tired of people saying these guys should be fired. It is short-sighted thinking. It is bad football thinking. I mean, if you want to be a Jets fan, by all means, go be a Jets fan. We're going to stay over here where, yes, it is called Title Town, and they are building something to try and go win a and or multiple titles. They're not just trying to go willy-nilly each and every year, hire and fire, and, oh, maybe get lucky. That's what bad teams do. The Packers are not a bad team. Simitovich, what's up, man? Do you anticipate anyone getting signed? Dubose? It really depends on where Dubose is health-wise, doesn't it? I mean, I know Matt made that proclamation, I guess, for lack of a better word, in his presser today because Spoon asked him about the 2 open roster spots, with Jair going on IR and most likely Watson following him. The Packers have 2 days. I believe the 8th is the final day where they can make additions before the rosters freeze for the playoffs. So if they're going to do something, they got to do it in the next 48 hours. Who knows, man? Samari Torre is there on the Chicago practice squad. I kid, kind of. I would suspect whoever they bring in is going to be someone who has been with the program before and knows their offense and or defense. They don't have time to, you know, coach these guys up if they're coming in off the street. So it's something to look for. Certainly it's a possibility, but I'm not holding my breath. Let's say that. Mimsy. Now this I can get behind. I hope they get off the bus ready to play finally. Man, you ain't lying. And now I do think, and I talked about this a bit with Andy on Let's Talk Football. If you get a chance, make sure you check it out. I do think there's something to the idea or the fact that this is a team that clinched the playoffs a couple weeks ago, right? And any chance or opportunity to go get a home playoff game was never in the cards, right? So they haven't had much to play for the last couple weeks. And I certainly feel like that is contributed to, I'm not going to say it's the main cause, but it's contributed to some lackluster play, lack of concentration, etc. We'll see what happens on Sunday. I think it'll be very interesting to see how they come out of the gate, because to your point, they need to not only get on the front foot, but they need to weather the energy storm that is coming right at kickoff. You know, in the playoff game, everything gets ramped up. The energy gets ramped up. The crowd is going to be insane. Got to survive that first 5 minutes or so and settle into the game. And hopefully they do that by running the ball and or stopping the run. Because to me, that's going to be what this game is all about. Soder, what's up? In today's presser, Matt LaFleur said pad level. My view of the 2024 Packers has shifted from that of an enigma to that of a full-blown existential crisis. Now, Soder, he checked that with a bunch of other things as well. That was one of a complete list of things that they needed to be mindful of. This wasn't Mike McCarthy saying, pad level. You know, it was a very different instance. Don't fall back into bad habits, sir. Ed, thanks for the super chat. Page turned onto the Eagles in an amazing win. Talent is there. Go, Pack, go. See, Ed, I like where your head's at. I like your approach. I don't want anyone getting under any illusions here. It's going to be tough, and the Packers are going to be behind the eight ball talent-wise, given the injuries and losing Christian Watson and the way they have not looked anywhere near smooth on offense. But yeah, they've got the talent to do it. Of that, I have little doubt. It's just a question of executing and getting out of their own way. Bryson, what's up, man? F the haters, F the Eagles, F Freddie Mitchell. Packers going to beat that ass Sunday. Go, Pack, go. The inclusion of Freddie Mitchell makes that one of my favorite super chats of the season. Well done, sir. Well done indeed. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. So how do you execute passing game against aggressive man? Just relying on guys to win their one-on-one matchup seems like late-stage McCarthy. You are not lying. Well, did you watch the Lions last night by any chance? Or even the Vikings? Did anyone see a lot of crossers, a lot of shallow crossers, a lot of man beaters as far as running mesh and running design pick routes? They were spamming the shit out of that early in the game, and it worked. Maybe something to steal rather than sending guys 10, 15, 20 yards downfield on routes where they have to win one-on-one. I don't know. That's just me. It's just something I'm into. Jack, how you doing, man? With Watson coming up on his final contract year, what should the Packers do with him? Can they bank/risk him getting hurt again when he comes back? I'd hate to see a talent like that just walk. We're talking about return on investment. Let's get him healthy first and have him get back out on the football field, able to play football before we start talking about any of that. Yes, I think they get him healthy and they play him throughout the final year. And if he balls out, they'll probably pay him and keep him around. And even if he doesn't put up monster numbers, but he's still a difference maker as far as how defenses have to play the offense, kicks ass in the running game as far as blocking downfield, and then, you know, is productive when called upon, I suspect they extend him again. Now, a lot of this is determined on how he comes back from yet another injury, a significant knee injury. You never really know how guys are going to hit the ground running post ACL, how long it's going to take, how long it's going to take to get back into the groove, how long it's going to take to get back to looking what they look like prior to the injury. Feels like a lot has to play out there before we even get around to what they're going to do with his contract. Joey, what's up? Let's say it together. Bring Jake Kumerow home. Thank you for the laugh. I needed it today. And hey, what's going on, man? Fans already giving up hope/calling for firings need to take a breather. To quote the once-renowned shaman, Aureen Rogerai, R-E-L-A-X. Look, I understand, again, the frustration, the knee-jerk of it, the knee-jerk reaction to a loss, especially to that team in that manner. But yeah, no one needs to be fired right now. Absolutely not. Bryson, what's going on, man? Please give me Hill this offseason. Ah, yes, the first Tyreek Hill mention. Saying he's out of there in Miami. I don't know, man. I mean, it'd be fun to watch Jordan throw it deep, chuck it, Tyreek down there somewhere. But I don't see that happening. I don't see the Packers outlaying that kind of cash and money and contract and cap hit, most importantly, for a guy that side of the ledger when it comes to age and tread on the tires. Not saying it wouldn't be fun, but it's just not the way they tend to operate. Sam, what's going on, man? I'm so tired of a scared defense. Meanwhile, Aaron Glenn and a decimated Detroit D threw the kitchen sink at Minnesota and pants them to win the division. Sam, I'm going to admit, it was really hard to watch that juxtaposition yesterday from the Packers playing that final snap of the football on defense from scrimmage, in the most scared, cowardly manner possible. And then tuning in to Sunday Night Football and Aaron Glenn, who's lost a billion dudes to injury throughout the season and still resolutely playing man coverage across the board and sending all sorts of different pressures at Sam Darnold. And look, oh, yes, the Vikings move the ball at times, but Sam Darnold, after, you know, getting hit a bunch of times and starting to see ghosts, suddenly got really scattershot. I don't know, man. Like, look, I think the Vikings, at least entering the game, were a little bit healthier at corner than the Packers have been, obviously, with the Jair situation. However, yeah, at some point, I'd like to go down swinging. I understand it against certain teams, but against the Bears, against that completely inept offense, a team that has lost how many games in a row, had done precious little on the offensive side of the ball throughout the year, and you're out there playing scared, that really bugged the hell out of me last night. I got to admit, it is one thing to play to the strengths of your team, and there's another thing to play scared. And it is something that I have grown weary of, whether it was Halfley on that particular play. And look, I think Halfley called a pretty damn good game yesterday. But game on the line, leaning into fear, much like Joe Barry did, much like Mike Pettine did, much like Dom Capers did. Like, it's been this ongoing thing in Green Bay that has just driven me, I'm not going to say insane because I'm not quite there yet, but I'm headed there, man. I am definitely headed there. Clay, what's going on? Belichick said it's mystifying teams make basic clock management mistakes. Did praise the Packers on McAfee today, though, for developing players and talent. And that's the thing. You know, in these calls for guys to be fired, development is a very real aspect of the Packers program, right? And they have done that. And I know Packers fans don't feel that way because development isn't linear. And if a guy's really good in A, and then he should be great in B, and if there are hiccups along the way, then, oh my gosh, it's not working. You have to have patience. But yes, Belichick is correct that it is mystifying when basic clock management shit gets... I mean, at this point, we are how many iterations into Madden in our lives? Like, just have a Madden player on staff to tell you when to take a timeout. Because yesterday was... That was embarrassing, man. That was just embarrassing. Wood Class, what's going on, man? Aaron Glenn coached a masterclass last night. 0-4 red zone defense. Impressive. No question about it. And look, you got Justin Jefferson after the game say, oh, they were grabbing and they were pulling and they were getting away with stuff. Yeah, like the Vikings did to the Packers receivers the week before. And at some point, they can't call it on every play. So lean into it. And if you're getting away with it, keep doing it. That's what I mean about, like, let's test the waters a little bit. Play a little press man, play aggressively. And if you get some calls, then sure, yes, you live with it. And if this crew shows early in the game that we're going to be letter of the law, we're going to call it all the time, then you back off. But if you're in that environment, big game, end of the year, everyone's tuning in, you know the NFL is going to let them play. I thought Glenn had a very, very, very good game plan, and they executed it at a very high level. Jared, what's going on, man? This fan base needs to get a grip. Things can be way worse than a two-game skid. This team is young and resilient. Random Packer, Kyler Fackrell. I think that's the first Fackrell mention we've ever had. Well done, Jared. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Again, it's about perspective, right? And again, I do not begrudge anyone being frustrated. I understand the knee-jerk reaction of calling for someone to lose their job. I just think people need a lot more patience. And it's hard in this world where everything's online and reactions are so instant to every single thing in development. But yes, I agree. Thanks for the super sticker, Pandamano. Not quite sure how to say your name, but thank you for the support. Josh Sims, how are you, man? Heading into the playoffs, we need less Matt LaFleur and more HCL. HCL. Going to need some help there with HCL. MLF and more HCL. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Don't forget, everyone. Everyone is 0-0 again. Like, share, sub. Thank you, Dustin. Yeah, like, share, sub, people. JJ, what's going on? If you subscribe to the idea that Matt LaFleur has a composure problem, then what can an NFL coach realistically do to work on that? Random Packer, Antonio Chapman. Well, I don't. I would. I would posit that Matt seemed to work on it over the week, because there were certainly moments in yesterday's game where he would have gone ballistic earlier in the season, especially in Minnesota, but he seemed to have dialed it back yesterday. So you can ask Matt LaFleur. But I don't think it's a composure problem. To my eyes, it's about being tight and then wondering why your team is tight. Man, loosen up, baby. Loosen up. That's all I can say. Oh, here we go. Goodness is the enemy of greatness. Matt LaFleur personified. You could be correct. We'll see. I still have patience and faith that Matt LaFleur is going to bring this team to a Super Bowl and win it. I still believe that. Your mileage may vary. Mike, what's going on, man? With Nine tearing his ACL, you think we might spend a first or a second round pick next year in the draft for a wide receiver? Mike, I think it's on the table. First would surprise me. Second is a possibility. I think it's about how the board falls, who's available. We're a long way away from knowing what that's going to look like. But is it possible? Sure. I think they'll look at every avenue to bring in some talent there, no doubt. Cheeto, what's going on, man? No, I think it's a mistake to just finish the last game. Matt LaFleur, kill that fourth down play. We've seen it. What playbook was used? Was it called Don't Give a Ass, written in crayon? Repeated problems, man. I mean, yeah, a lot of the play calling and approach yesterday was pretty mystifying. Andy and I talked about it a lot today. You should make sure you check that out. Yeah, it's hard when you look at repeated problems like you're talking about and then watching the head coach and the team talk about, well, we got to put that behind us. Well, okay, put it behind you, but learn from it. But that's what is so frustrating. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish yesterday, other than taking the middle ground on everything and then botching the, you know, end of the game by the coaching staff. You come out of that game and you're like, I just don't get what they were trying to accomplish. Were they trying to win the game? Then why did they keep pulling guys? Were they just trying to rest? Then why was Christian Watson playing? Like, I know Christian Watson said to them, if I go on Friday, can I please be up for the game? But at some point, if you're trying to accomplish whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, you got to walk that path. It just seemed like there was no direction yesterday. That's what was so kind of mind-boggling to me. Jack, what's going on, man? Both Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek want out now. Saw that. I mean, Jalen would be fun, but I don't think the Packers would outlay that kind of the cash necessary and the contract necessary to go get him. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. Everyone talking about the down year Gary had, but where did Kenny go this year? Just disappeared the last month, in my opinion. Oh, I disagree there, Mike. I mean, yesterday he literally was pulled for like the second half of the game. But I do think he's playing at a high level. He's just not being as disruptive on the stat sheet as people are used to. Now, would you like to see more? Would you like to be a lot more productive in that regard? Yeah, no doubt. But I still think he's playing at a high level. And he's still doing things within the scheme to open things up for other guys. But he's certainly not giving you what you had hoped after you signed that extension and you thought the idea of this scheme, shooting across the line of scrimmage, creating havoc, etc. Certainly haven't seen enough of that. There, I would agree. Mr. Englewood, what's going on, man? I should be drinking some cold Carry the G today. If only I would have taken that bet. Here's to a new year in this rivalry. Always take the bet. I have no idea what bet you're talking about. Braden, what's going on, man? I would love to see some bubble screams and wildcat with Jacobs and Malik. But yes, we need to see more short pass play calls or just run the damn ball. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I do not envy Matt LaFleur trying to figure out how to jumpstart the passing game, because it does feel like they're trying a bunch of different stuff. But now, again, I don't know what the approach was yesterday. You know, it looked like they had real issues timing-wise between Love and the receivers. They seemed to try everything outside the numbers. They've basically forgotten about the middle of the field, at least in the initial kind of reads. I don't know. That's something that is going to be fascinating to see their approach coming out of the gate in Philadelphia, because I think if you can get Love in a rhythm, you can start cooking with gas, but it's been a while since we've seen him in rhythm. And I think that's because it's been so disjointed coming out of the gate in almost all these games for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Kyle, what's going on, man? Thanks for all you do. I wonder what positions they choose to fill with vets or instead with rookies. Man, I was hoping for more than Van Ness this year. I was looking for more from Van Ness this year. Loved his bow celebrations last year. Yeah, you can definitely look at Van Ness and say he has not developed or progressed the way everyone hoped he would coming into this year. Obviously, next year is make or break for him as far as, okay, you've been in three different systems. The last 3 years is be his first year of continuity. Hopefully, he continues to develop physically and he comes in and hits the ground running in 2025. But it's certainly put up or shut up time next season. That there's no doubt. Craig, how you doing, man? What do you think the QB coach is telling J-Love at this point? Do you think Matt LaFleur's tightness is impacting Love that much? It's possible. I mean, I think for the most part, you got to be thinking, okay, you got to lean into your fundamentals. At least that's what I suspect Tom Clements is saying. But, man, you certainly don't see that reflected in Love's play. I mean, we got national folks now making a joke about how J-Love is falling away and throwing sidearm, throwing off his back foot. But that's something that's got to change. And until that changes, at least out of the gate, I understand maybe getting into the flow of the game and you do hit that rhythm and now you're feeling it and then, okay, you're off and running. But at least the beginning of these games where he has really struggled, seems like manufacturing some rhythm type throws where he gets, you know, set with good fundamentals, but they're, you know, I don't know, like a something we saw in Seattle, that initial pass to Jacobs on a bit, not really an angle route, almost a Texas route, maybe a choice route, but something that, you know, he can sit back there, plant his foot, let it rip. And do that a handful of times through the first couple drives and get him in a rhythm. And I'm sure this has been talked about. I'm sure they've tried to do some of this, but man, whatever they've done, it has not materialized with very much success when it comes to Jordan early in these contests. John, did Halfley know the score of the game? Honestly, Simatovich, I don't know, man. You did. Maybe they'll ask Halfley that in his press availability later this week. I tend to doubt it, but yeah, I mean, it did look like they were set up for a Hail Mary attempt, as though the team couldn't be beat by a field goal. I don't know. I just don't know. Aaron Picard. Prize Picks have a line on the Bears winning the offseason? Use the code CHTV. That's pretty good. I have no doubt they will once again win the offseason, as they often do. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'll be back for Carry the G Radio tomorrow afternoon, another daily, and then happy hour, which I suspect will be very lively tomorrow night. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, I'll see you there. The rest of you, have a great night. Go Pack, go.